we go. Hey, welcome back. Thanks so much for tuning in today. Really appreciate you being out there and taking care of us all. We got a call, Sammy? Wowee. Hi there. You're on the air. Who's this?
This is Carolyn.
Carolyn, how are you today?
Perfect. Anticipating getting outside and doing some yard work.
Oh, I hope you get out there and enjoy it, Carolyn. It's beautiful, and it's a great day to make some memories, isn't it?
It is. It is. Fred, I don't know if you're the correct person to ask this question, but I've listened to you for many years.
Yes, ma'am.
And I thought, I'm calling Fred before I get a hold of a lawyer.
Oh, I appreciate that. Well, you know I'm not a lawyer, so.
Fred, my granddaughter bought a house.
Yes.
And she used the inspector that the realtor had said she could use.
Right.
This person has inspected other houses, apparently, for the realtor.
Okay.
And she went with what the inspector had said.
Uh-huh.
She paid $400 for the inspection.
Yes, ma'am.
And the whole situation was falsified. The inspector said that there was a fan in the bathroom, which there was not.
Uh-huh.
There was rot in the bathroom, literally black mold underneath the tub and around it. And it had a 100-amp fuse panel for the whole house.
Wow, that's small.
Uh-huh. And I'm thinking, all right, she's fixing all of this out of pocket. I mean, you have to make it livable. This is for her and her husband and their children. And I'm thinking, maybe there's a recourse here that we can go after the inspector for falsifying everything.
You know, and that as you probably a consult with an attorney would be a good thing to do. And the reason for that, you mentioned just a couple of things in there, and one is the mold and children.
I can't hear you.
The mold and children. You can't hear me? Can you hear me
now?
No, I can. Okay. Sorry, I was looking down for my microphone. I'm sorry about that. The home inspectors are sort of regulated in a different way. They're not regulated. You know, if it was a problem directly with the agent, then of course, you know, you could go back to that agent and talk with them about, you know, their professionals' standards and that. But really, this is the actions and the activity of the home inspector.
Absolutely.
That was paid to do this job. And, you know, for yourself or I guess the reason that I would encourage you to get an attorney in between you and the home inspector is so that you don't muddy the water in how it's approached. If there's the opportunity for him to remedy the situation, offer some consultation, offer something, maybe for the attorney to be able to draw that. I'm certain that there's some reasonable disclaimers in his inspection report that, you know, that he can't be held accountable for things that weren't out in open sight. You know, so if you took a cabinet off of the wall and then discovered mold behind the cabinet, well, there was no way that he would have been able to see that because it was behind the cabinet, obviously. So, but yeah, it sounds like you've got a number of issues, and particularly if they were misrepresented in the report, that they were there and existing when in fact they weren't there and existing. That's, you know, I don't know if you call it malpractice. I don't know exactly what the term is.
Well,
the
only thought that I had was perhaps he got this inspection confused with another inspection and presented it to the realtor in that capacity.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't careful about what he took pictures of or did take pictures of another house.
Well, so then what I would encourage is to have your daughter pull up, because basically the way the home inspection works is the home inspection is contracted by the purchaser, it is paid for by the purchaser, and it is the purchaser's property. She owns that report. So in the front of the report, undoubtedly there is some disclosure about their professional ethic, how they're going to do it, and there's going to be some issue in there about how they limit their liability and their exposure. It would be because in that document, which was signed by the purchaser, basically meant that they agreed to those terms. You know, I don't know that anybody ever reads it, but you know, that there is that issue there. And then to read that and see if there's, you know, they could say something like, you know, their limited exposure is $100 and no more. Okay.
Wow.
And so you want to know before you fire up an attorney, get him all fired up, that, you know, that was already there, and it could be a dirty fight.
I understand.
But that would be a good place to start, is read that first, so that you know what the process is going to be and where their limitations of liabilities are, whether it's, you know, time motivated, you know, this document is only good for 2 weeks after it was presented, or you know, see what I'm saying? There can be stuff embedded in there. Then they're not uniform. They're not all the same.
I understand. Well, you've answered my question, Fred.
Well, Carol, I really appreciate it. And I hope you get out there and have some fun in the garden today.
I will, and you do the same.
Right on, dear. Have a great day.
Thank you.
Uh-huh. Bye-bye now.
Bye.
Well, there you go. Yeah. Home inspections. You know, one of the things that I encourage, you know, oftentimes with that is, if you can, and you're in a situation where you're going to get a home inspection, generally speaking, a good home inspection takes at least a couple hours, and generally is around 3. But to allow the home inspector to sort of get a running start at it, so let him go out there and run around and start doing his inspection for an hour or so before you show up. And then as the potential purchaser, go to the home inspector and say, well, you know, what'd you find when you were here? Point it out to me. Show me where this is. Show me where that is. And it allows you to be a little bit more intimate with the process, if you will, so that you can actually put your eyes on something, see what it is, and then you then can gauge the severity of it while you're there and you're looking at it. Sometimes with photographs and written discussion and written explanation, it doesn't do a really, really good job of putting it in proper context, and in some cases can way, way overstate it, because it's just always found black mold. Well, yeah, there were 3 dots that were over there. You get some bleach and a brush and it's gone. Okay. Or, you know, gosh, it was really quite severe. This is going to take, you know, a remediation of some nature. And, you know, that's something that you're going to want to have remedied. And generally speaking, those, you know, the mold, the asbestos, the lead paint, the radon, some of those different issues, those have become fairly large issues. And if you have them and you know about them, you're going to end up fixing them one way or the other, either fixing them for yourself or fixing them so that you can sell the property again to somebody else. So those are just issues that are issues, and they don't really go away unless you deal with them. But that was a good call. And thank you, Carol, for calling in. Really appreciate that. So I guess I got just a couple of minutes here. I don't know if this is good news, but it's interesting. And there's 2 things. One, the mule deer deal. I'm sorry I didn't get to it. It's back. Call your county commissioners and tell them that it's an egregious act of taking your land rights away. It's an eminent domain without just and fair compensation. And I'm more than glad to forward that information to you if you'd like. But this one's kind of interesting, and I think it puts our American market a little bit in context. So it says, the headline is, rich foreign buyers call the U.S. housing market excellent. Okay? And it says that 80% of them say that the United States is a safe investment and it's an excellent time to do it. And Fannie Mae's home purchasing settlement among Americans, 79% of Americans said it wasn't a good time to buy a home. So it was kind of interesting that, you know, a lot of these guys, obviously a lot of luxury homes, but $6.1 billion comes from China, $5.5 billion comes from Canada, $3.6 billion comes from India, $2.9 billion comes from Mexico, and most seem to have their sights on Florida, California, and Texas. And, you know, of course, they like the modern stuff, you know, the latest smart technology, so I guess you can change your thermostat when you're in Rio or whatever. Eco-friendly, sustainable, state-of-the-art security systems, views and privacy. But this was kind of interesting, the amenity per country. I'll just go to this. You know, this was really, really quite interesting, I thought. And the countries most likely to call the United States a safe investment: Mexico, 97%, Spain, 92%, United Arab Emirates, 92%, Costa Ricans, 87%, Turkey, 84%, Argentina, 81%, France, 76%, Portugal, 76%, and Italy, 72%. This is the number a number of people that are high net worth individuals that think that buying property in the United States is a good and safe thing, and they're looking at it from a global perspective. So maybe if there's something out there that fits your needs, it might not be a bad idea to get out there and get it. So again, please feel free to contact me anytime. My website, AskFredJohnson.com, or you can email me at Fred@DukeWarner.com. I want to thank you so much for tuning in to Ask Fred Johnson here on FM News 100, 1110 KBND.
FM 100.1 and News Talk 1110 KBND.